Before Lord God made the sea or the land, he held all the stars in the palm of his hand, and they ran through his fingers like grains of sand, and one little star fell alone. Then the Lord God hunted through the wild night air for the little dark star on the wind down there. And he stated and promised he'd take special care so it wouldn't get lost no more. Now a man don't mind if the stars grow dim and the clouds blow over and darken him, as long as the Lord God's watching over them, keeping track how it all goes on.
Listen together to A Course in Miracles that is the parting of the veil. As a transformative imperative, A Course in Miracles will perfectly assist and accelerate the necessary confrontation of your objective self-identity and the whole subjective universe that surrounds you, so that you may undergo your inevitable experience of resurrection and enlightenment. What you are afraid of and deny through your own possessive fear is your illumination. You're returning to God mind from temporal being to the reality of eternal life. So it is your transition from death to life, from your old meaningless self-existence that is in reality long over and gone. It's a teaching of initiation, or the determination of an individual mind to come to its own whole universal self. It is the rite of your passage from time to eternity, from the apparent occurrence of separation to the remembrance that you are perfect as God created you. And it is accomplished through a bright reassociation of your individual perceptual self-identity. It's an awakening. This unearthly catechism is directing you to the confrontation of the necessity of parting the veil and every obstacle that peace must flow across is surmounted in exactly the same way. The fear that raised it yields to the love beyond, and so the fear is gone.
A rainbow highway to be found, leading from your window pane to a place behind the sun, just a step beyond the rain. I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops, way above the chimney top. where you find me, somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly, birds fly over the rainbow. Why then, oh why can't I?
I'm glad you're with me again in the idea of continuing with the notation of a production of the miracle of A Course in Miracles. We're demonstrating that in the resurrection of my Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I am able to present to you a whole new idea about what you want to believe about yourself. We're going to take about 12 minutes in which each one of you perhaps will have an opportunity within the picturing of what we intend to do in the scribeship, all right, of our Course in Miracles, in the downloading, to offer efforts of how we are constituted in the fundamental idea that in our Course in Miracles, the manner or description of how a human being should respond. Now, you came with me and presented me with a long list, but you particularly wanted to do particular efforts, okay, on the manner that the major idea of faith, in the idea that there's a bright alternative that's available to me in the conversion of my mind, finally became a matter of trust. Here I am. In this miracle of yourself, you're going to have to trust the idea that it's available to you. Listen with me. Even though at the moment in which you just saw this playing, okay, in what you just saw as the crucifixion, and you've all seen it, you have not had, except at moments of revelation, a good demonstration of what the appearance of Jesus in the resurrection would actually be like. You're going to trust me with this? You're going to trust me with this? Because the idea of the production, and there's been a lot of requests, everyone finally loves the idea that in our Course in Miracles, the voice that is speaking to us through Jesus Christ is offering us a whole alternative. Okay? Let's look very quickly here just for a moment about one of the characteristics. Here, now I'll give you one characteristic and you'll say I'd like that one. I hope. Listen with me. From the teacher's manual of our Course in Miracles, what are your characteristics? What are your characteristics? What are your characteristics? Listen. In honesty, all other traits of God's teachers rest on trust. Once that has been achieved, the others cannot fail to follow. Only the trusting can afford honesty, for only they can see its value. Honesty does not apply only to what you say. This is why you're honest. The term actually means consistency. And there's nothing you say that contradicts what you think or do. And no thought opposes any other thought, and no act belies your word, and no word lacks agreement with another. Such are the truly honest. At no level are they in conflict with themselves. Therefore, it is impossible for them to be in conflict with anyone or anything. Here's why. The peace of God, which the advanced teachers of God experience, is largely due to their perfect honesty. It is only the wish to deceive that makes for war. No one at one with himself can even conceive of conflict. Conflict is the inevitable result of self-deception, and self-deception is what dishonesty is. There is no challenge to a teacher of God. Challenge implies doubt, and the trust on which God's teachers rest secure makes doubt impossible. Therefore, they can only succeed. In this, as in all things, they are honest. They can only succeed because they never do their will alone. They choose for all mankind, for all the world and all things in it, for the unchanging and unchangeable beyond appearances, and for the Son of God and His Creator. How could they not succeed? They choose in perfect honesty, sure of their choice as of themselves. I'm back for just a moment because we're enjoying the idea. Would you like to have honesty? I had somebody requested me in non-judgment if he could have tolerance. And sure enough, I looked down. And the idea that you're going to tolerate alternatives in other people without the necessity to judge them, or in effect misjudge them, which is what you do, give the idea of tolerance a very important factor in the lessons of our course. Will you listen to me what it says about tolerance? Listen about tolerance. God's teachers do not judge. To judge is to be dishonest, for to judge is to assume a position you do not have. And judgment without self-deception is impossible. Judgment implies that you have been deceived in your brother. How then could you not have been deceived in yourself? Judgment implies a lack of trust, and trust remains the bedrock of the teacher of God's whole thought system. That is the idea that I must trust you with myself. Let this be lost, and all his learning is gone. Without judgment are all men brothers, for who is there who stands apart? Judgment destroys honesty and shatters trust, and no teacher of God can judge and hope to learn. I've enjoyed very much the idea. We have a guest coming in here, and he asked me if he could sing a particular song to you, and it has to do perhaps with the idea that I have a tendency to get a little excited at the prospect of the manner in which you intend to apply yourself. Now, will you listen with me?
Take my hand, I'm a stranger in paradise, all lost in a wonderland, a stranger in paradise. If I stand starry-eyed, that's a danger in paradise for mortals who stand beside an angel like you. I saw your face. transcended, out of the commonplace. That you care, won't you answer this fervent prayer of a stranger in paradise? Don't send me in dark despair from all that I hunger for, but open your angel's arms to the stranger in paradise and tell him that he need be a stranger no
discovered yourself in a place that you know you don't belong in. We're going to teach. You know perfectly well you don't belong here. You can look up in the sky and you see billions of stars and galaxies, yet you seem to be trapped in the idea. So the manner of the teaching involves the idea that you and I can communicate in the change of my mind so that I can offer you a variance. Here, I'm going to sit down for a second. A variance in what appears to be your association of time. Did I do that all right? Now, the idea of teaching, all right, the idea that the appearance and disappearance in our Course in Miracle are demonstrations of the resurrection of Jesus are very simply why we're here. Now, that could come from any story. There's a little interlude, okay, where one of the associations who is going to do, I believe it's gentleness, which he wants to do. He comes and there's absolutely no chair there. Now, just a little anecdote for you. He trusts the idea that the chair was there a moment ago. Why? A moment ago the chair was there, all right? So he has to make up his mind in the trust that in the activity of the conversion of the illusion, the chair will be there. Now, there's no chair behind me now. Now, in effect, what it says is, until I make an effort of judgment in my own association, there isn't any chair there. And I know that some of you get a little tired of the old man teaching the idea that in the transfiguration of your body formulation, what is there a moment ago will not be there a moment over. Why? It's my mind. And since it's always going to be over ever, if I don't carry it with me, I can demonstrate to you. This is part of what's going to be in the movie now. We're going to demonstrate to you that Jesus is going to begin to appear in very strange places. Why is that true? Jesus does appear in very strange places. The fundamental teaching, I'll teach Christianity for a second, is the idea that you don't belong here. No matter what else Jesus says to you, he says, I underwent a resurrection and I'm here to tell you this is not where you're from. But he attempts to be a little more gentle about it, perhaps, than I have been, because when I sat down, the chair wasn't there and I sat on the floor. And I had to practice the idea that I had failed in my efforts. This is in the movie, guys. And you'll love the idea because it involves trust. Will you listen with me just a little bit more? Okay, Tanya, about gentleness. Listen. Harm is impossible for God's teachers. They can neither harm nor be harmed. Harm is the outcome of judgment. It is the dishonest act that follows a dishonest thought. It is a verdict of guilt upon a brother and therefore on oneself. It is the end of peace and the denial of learning. It demonstrates the absence of God's curriculum and its replacement by total insanity or craziness. And no teacher of God but must learn, and fairly early in his training, that harmfulness completely obliterates his function from his awareness. It will make him confused and fearful and angry and suspicious. It will make the Holy Spirit's lesson impossible to learn. Nor can God's teacher be heard at all except by those who realize that harm can actually achieve nothing and there's no gain at all in it. Therefore, God's teachers are wholly gentle. They need the strength of gentleness, for it is in this that the function of salvation becomes easy. To those who would do harm, it's impossible. To those to whom harm has no meaning, it is merely natural. What choice but this has meaning to the ones who have decided they want an alternative? Who chooses hell when he perceives a way to heaven? And who would choose the weakness that must come from harm in place of the unfailing, all-encompassing, and limitless strength of gentleness? The might of God's teachers lie in their gentleness, for they have understood their evil thoughts come neither from God's Son nor his Creator. Thus did they join their thoughts with him who is their source. And so their will, which always was his own, is free to be itself. I'm going to take a little break from you in the sequence of the idea of the scripture in the association of God's association with his Son in the idea of the training of our Course in Miracles. All right, and there's a lovely song that is going to be sung for you in that joy. So we're going to begin with an expression of another way that's important in our teaching. Then we'll go into that lovely song. Can you listen with me? Joy is the inevitable result of gentleness. Gentleness means that fear is now impossible. And what could come to interfere with joy? The open hands of gentleness are always filled. The gentle have no pain. They cannot suffer. Why would they not be joyous? They are sure they are beloved and must be saved. Joy goes with gentleness as surely as grief and pain attend attack. God's teachers trust in him, and they are sure his teacher goes before them, making sure that no harm can come to them. They hold his gifts and follow in his way because God's voice directs them in all things, and joy is their song of thanks. And Christ looks down on them in thanks as well, and his need of them is just as great as theirs of him. How joyous it is to share the purpose of salvation. How joyful we are in the idea that there's a lot of laughing going on here in the production of the idea of our Course in Miracles, all right? And the reason they're so happy is it's a happy idea. There's nowhere in the Course in Miracles with the evidence of Jesus Christ where you are expected not to be happy. No, Is there a lot of pain and loneliness and death connected to it? Of course. But it's impossible that when you finally begin to examine the idea of the place and time you're in, say, Tete, you won't begin to laugh. You look around you and say, how could I ever have gotten into a situation like this? This is why we have the Course in Miracles. This is why we have Jesus, who looked about here and said, the place that you are in is not where you belong, all right? He uses a particular expression. He says you're in hell, and you are in hell, and you have no idea how to get to heaven because there's no heaven connected to you in the relationship of the song that you intend to do. Now, we're going to leave you again, and this time, there may be quite a long interlude in the idea of the teaching of the Course in Miracles, because the applications are overwhelming in those who suddenly want to be a part of both the crucifixion, which we have a very beautiful demonstration with pictures and visuals, followed by the resurrection, which will be the production that we intend to do within this relationship, okay? So, here we go, in this idea.
Romance won't end on a sorrowful note. Oh, by tomorrow you're gone. The song is ended, but as the songwriter wrote, the melody lingers on. They may take you from me, miss your fond caress, but though they take you from me, I'll still possess the way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me, the way your smile just beams, the way you sing off key, the way you haunt my dreams. No, no, they can't take that away from me. We may never, never meet again on the bumpy road to love. Still, I'll always, always keep the memory of the way you hold your knife, the way we danced till three, the way you changed my life. No, no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away. Till three, the way you've changed my life. No, no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away from me. Time after time, I tell myself that I'm so lucky to be loving you. So lucky to be the one you run to see in the evening when the day is through. I only know what I know. Passing years will show. You've kept my love so young, so new.
For those of you who made inquiries from out of time, and there's a lot of you now that are coming in to this new continuum of time that just a moment ago did not appear to be there. It wasn't there. Now, this next 28 minutes with Master Jesus Christ are going to be set very simply on the idea that since you have been able to accomplish the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, we intend in this production to accomplish the resurrection. Of course it's a story. You've been telling me stories for, 4,000 years? Actually, 40,000 years. What I'm trying to get to you, to look at the beginning and end of our relationship on what we intend to say to ourselves in regard to the crucifixion and the resurrection. Now, in the teacher's manual, there were three more very quick ideas that you have about the manner in which you personify yourself in the ideas of what you think you are. And one of the most important ones, which I know you're going to be happy to hear, is generosity. Well, I've always believed that we should be very generous in our ideas. Good. Let's take a look at it, shall we? Listen. The term generosity has special meaning to the teacher of God. It is not the usual meaning of the word. In fact, it is a meaning that must be learned, and it must be learned very carefully. Like all the other attributes of God's teachers, this one rests ultimately on trust. For without trust, no one could possibly be generous in the true sense. Now, to the world, generosity means giving away in the sense of giving up. To the teacher of God, it means giving away in order to keep. Now, this has been emphasized throughout the text and the workbook, but it is perhaps more alien to the thinking of the world than many other ideas in our curriculum. In the clearest way possible, at the simplest of levels, the word means the exact opposite to the teacher of God than it means to the world. Why? The teacher of God is generous out of self-interest. Listen, this does not refer, however, to the self of which the world speaks. The teacher of God does not want anything that he cannot give away, because he realizes it would be valueless to him by definition. Therefore, he does not seek what only he would keep, because that is the guarantee of loss. He does not want to suffer. Why should he insure himself pain? But he does want to keep for himself all things that are of God, and therefore for his son. These are the things that belong to him. These he can give away in true generosity, protecting them forever for himself. I'm back for 3 minutes because I want to express a particular thanks to you as a master teacher of the idea of the production of course, that you've been patient. Now, the necessity for your patience is based solely on the idea that you expect the result to be here and now. And while the results here are now, you are doing what you can within the idea of the protection of the cause and effect relationship of yourself, with the idea that losing that self will be your death. Now, to me, being patient for a moment, because it appears that you continue to suffer, is why we're doing our Course in Miracles. Will you listen with me? Will you listen with me just a minute? Here's patience. Those who are certain of the outcome can afford to wait, and wait without anxiety. Patience is natural to a teacher of God. All he sees is certain outcome at a time perhaps unknown to him as yet, but not in doubt. The time will be as right as is the answer. And this is true for everything that happens now or in the future. The past as well held no mistakes. Perhaps it was not understood at the time. Even so, the teacher of God is willing to reconsider all his past decisions if they are causing pain to anyone. And patience is natural to those who trust, sure of the ultimate interpretation of all things in time. No outcome already seen or yet to come can cause him any fear from anything at all. Now, the finality to this time that's left is going to be a word that I learned very directly from an experience of the pain and death that I have gone through in the necessity of offering to you the idea, I'll teach it here, of open-mindedness. No matter how I view it, I must be willing momentarily to open up to the idea of the freedom of independence of another possibility contained within my thinking. You'll be open-minded with me for a moment? There, you felt it. Now, you perhaps immediately closed it down and you said, what was that? The question is not what was that. The question is to be open to alternatives that are available to you in another sequence of time. That's what the teacher of Manuel's idea of the method of the story of A Course in Miracles will teach you. You listen with me. Listen. The centrality of open-mindedness, perhaps the last of the attributes the teacher of God acquires, is easily understood when its relation to forgiveness is recognized. Open-mindedness comes with lack of judgment. As judgment shuts the mind against God's teacher, so open-mindedness invites him to come in. As condemnation judges the Son of God as evil, so open-mindedness permits him to be judged by the voice for God on his behalf. As the projection of guilt upon him would send him to hell, so open-mindedness lets Christ's image be extended to him, because only the open-minded can be at peace, for they alone see reason for it. I'm back for just a moment to assure you that in our Course in Miracles, we're teaching the idea that the image that just appeared next to you was offering you the entirety, as Jesus, to the solution of the problem you think you have. Now, you wanted to recognize him, and you did for that moment recognize, shortening the distance between the cause and the effect. You became fearful and went through another death sequence, and went through another death sequence, and another. This time, you stand here for just a moment and listen. How do the open-minded forgive? They have let go all things that would prevent forgiveness. They have, in truth, abandoned the world. Oh my, they've abandoned the world and let it be restored to them in newness and in joy. So glorious they could never have conceived of such a change. Nothing is now as it was formerly. Nothing but sparkles now, which seemed so dull and lifeless before. And no cloud remains to hide the face of Christ. Now is the goal achieved. Forgiveness is always the final goal of the curriculum, and it paves the way for what goes far beyond all learning. The curriculum makes no effort to exceed its legitimate goal, because forgiveness is its single aim at which all learning ultimately converges, and it is indeed enough. The reason the importance is placed on, rather than on, trust, and then the idea of love and the idea of faith, it's based basically on the idea of forgiveness, because the grievance that I'm holding first must be recognized as a grievance against myself, so that it can be turned to my recognition that who I thought was my enemy and causing me all the suffering out there was in fact in my own mind. And I can accomplish it only by forgiveness. I noticed in your world today, in this new production, most of you are walking on with the idea of holding a grievance. And while you give it up momentarily because you want to participate in this production, I'm going to remind you constantly during the production that the act of actually forgiving are the manner in which the enlightenment of my mind occurred. Now, granted, it was a devastating act within your own mind that brought it about. And granted that the production you're about to see will offer solutions that even in the idea of crucifixion and resurrection, which is actually what the New Testament is, are not acceptable to you. But it will and does become acceptable to you in this production of the manner in which we intend to perform the idea of the miracle of our Course in Miracles in what we have offered you. Listen with me. Will you listen with me?
Said I many times, love is illusion, a feeling result of confusion, with knowing smile and blasé sigh, a cynical so and so was I felt so sure, so positive, so utterly unchangingly certain, that I never was aware of love and you, till suddenly I realized there was love and you and I in this world of ordinary people. Extraordinary people. I'm glad there is you. In this world,
there's a lot of happiness around here.
Of overrated pleasures, of underrated treasures. I'm glad there is you. I live to love. I love to live with you beside me. This role so new, I'll muddle through with you to guide me. In this world, many, many play at love. Hardly any stay in love. I'm glad there is you. More than ever, I'm glad there is.
What we really learn in the entirety of the mission that's implied in the idea of crucifixion and resurrection is that there's no such thing as death. Now, relatively, that seems very simple to say, because obviously the crucifixion is the totality of the idea that you crucified or caused a death to God's Son. The entirety of the basis of the new illumination that's occurring within your factor are the idea of a description of what death actually is. Will you listen with me? Because I've got just that much time left before I read you about the resurrection to read you what you thought was death no longer has any appeal to you. Listen with me about death. Here's what's important. The idea of death, the idea of crucifixion, is the central dream from which all illusions stem. Is it not madness to think of life as being born, aging, losing vitality, and dying in the end? We've asked this question before, but now we need to consider it more carefully. It's the one fixed, unchangeable belief that all things are born only to die. This is regarded as the way of nature, not to be raised to question, but to be accepted as a natural law of life. The cyclical, the changing and unsure, the undependable and the unsteady, waxing and waning in a certain way upon a certain path, all this is taken as the will of God, and no one asks if a benign God could will this. In this perception of the universe as God created it, it would be impossible to think of him as loving. For who has decreed that all things pass away, ending in dust and disappointment and despair, can but be fear? He holds your little life in his hand, but by a thread, ready to break it off without regard or care, perhaps today. Or if he waits, yet is the ending certain. Who loves such a God knows not of love, because he has denied that life is real. Death has become life's symbol. His world is now a battleground where contradictions reign and oppositions make endless war. Where there is death is the idea of peace or resurrection impossible. You want to know what the resurrection is? Very simply, the resurrection is the overcoming or surmounting of death. It is a reawakening, a change of mind about the meaning of the world. It is the acceptance of the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the world's purpose, the acceptance of the at-one-man for oneself. It's the end of dreams of misery and the glad awareness of the Holy Spirit's final dream. It's the recognition of the gifts of God. It is the dream in which the body functions perfectly, having no function except communication. It is the lesson in which learning ends, for it is consummated and surpassed with this. It is the invitation to God to take this final step. It is the relinquishment of all other purposes, all other interests, all other wishes, and all other concerns. It is the single desire of the Son for the Father. I'm going to offer you a particular thanks. Is what is termed the master teacher of our Course in Miracles, in which many of you have now entered into new arrangement of the production of the idea of the resurrection of Jesus following the idea of crucifixion. All right? And it's going to be available to you. And we ask if you'd like to participate in the idea that the simple knowledge of the manner in which you participate in the idea that the method by which we communicate will always include the idea of time. So that when we begin to teach the idea of forgiveness, the idea that I can come to know who I am simply through the idea of forgiveness allows me at this time to look at you in an entirely different way. And that's why I just saw you, because of the intense love that I feel for you in the story of the Course in Miracles, which we are producing. Now, this is especially for you, the idea that the distance between us by the scenes that you are presenting will allow you to actively participate with us is the reason that we decided to do this for you. Because you are and you will participate with us in the certainty that through the realization that the love that I'm feeling for you right now is inclusive, I hope, in the love that you're feeling for me, in the recognition that the Son of God is singular in the idea of that love. I'll see you in a minute. There's a lot of bright light going on around us, isn't there? It will make you very happy. It's going to make you very happy. I'll see you in a minute. I'll see you in just a moment. I'll see you in just a moment.